Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
San Francisco, I'll be back Friday, December 8th and Saturday, December 9th at Cobb's Comedy Club. It's the last stop of the Live and Alive tour for 2023. Get your tickets at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm going to start this episode like I start every episode. Thank you. Thank you for supporting this show, watching, listening, wherever you get it, whether you're new here or whether you've been here. Thank you so much. Make sure you're subscribed. It is a free way to help the show get out there and be suggested and get those downloads and everything up, all right? If you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. Listen to me. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and it's this show with y'all, and y'all have the wildest stories. We have hundreds of episodes. It's available right now, and it is worth every single penny. It's $5, all right? It's a cup of coffee, and you're getting hundreds of episodes, excuse me. And if you're also looking for a new podcast to listen to, you got to listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. It's been gone for 5 years, and the library did over 1 million downloads this year. So thank you very much for that, everybody. That Feaster Nation is alive and well. And come see me on the road. The last dates for this year are Cobb's December 8th and 9th. All right. More to come next year. All tickets at ryansickler.com. That's the biz. You know what we're doing over here. I always say we're highlighting the lowlights and that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on. First time here on The Dew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Rob Riggle. Welcome to The Honeydew.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here, Rob Riggle. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, yeah, please plug, promote everything and anything you would like.
Oh, well, I'm relaunching a podcast that we Sarah Tiana, great comedian,
she's been on The Honeydew. Her mom's a big fan.
Yeah, good. She's amazing. And we used to do this podcast called Riggle's Picks. It was kind of based on the Fox comedy bit I used to do before the pregame, called Riggle's Picks as well. But we changed the format up. We stopped doing it about 3 years ago, right when COVID hit. Basically, COVID hit. I just started going through a divorce, and Sarah was having a baby. So it was just the perfect storm. Yeah. So we were like, you know what, let's just call it. So we did. And then, and now, 3 years later, I'm bringing it back. And so hopefully people enjoy it. I'm doing it with Darren Leader, good friend, incredible musician. And we've interjected interviews into it. So we'll be doing some celebrity interviews and interesting people interviews, not just celebrities, but just people that I think have something interesting to say and people need to hear it. So it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. So that's coming out. Riggles Picks, wherever you get podcasts.
All right. Anything else? Social media?
That's it. I mean, you, Rob Riggle.
Bro. Do you have Rob Riggle or you have to have a one or some shit?
I have Rob Riggle on most of it. I think I have Rob Riggle on most of it.
There's always one out there. Like, I think there's one. Facebook one has to be something else because some other Ryan Sickler asshole
I think I got to Riggle's Picks and Riggle's Picks, by the way, will have all of this. So there's RigglesPicks.com. Okay. There's Riggle's Picks on Insta, on all this stuff. So you can find Riggle's Picks or Rob Riggle anywhere.
So I really know nothing about you growing up. I know about you just from comedy, and I just watched your roast again the other day. And but tell me about yourself. Where are you from originally, and where'd you grow up? What was that like for you?
I grew up in the Midwest. I had a great childhood. No complaints.
What state are you from?
Kansas. Overland Park, Kansas.
Is Kansas considered Midwest? It is.
Yeah.
It's not like the Southwest.
No. Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, that's the Southwest.
Oklahoma? See, I would go, I guess that's Southwest. Yeah,
and Texas, they're right above Texas.
So you're Kansas. That's all Southwest.
So I'm Kansas, one of the rectangle states. Goes Kansas, Oklahoma, but they have a panhandle, so it's a weird looking state. But then Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Canada. So we're in that square block, block. You can't get more center of the country than Kansas.
Right. Yeah.
But I grew up in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah. So a great childhood, great childhood. And
why Kansas? Your parents, my family's
from there. Yeah. My parents were both from there. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, because my dad was selling insurance there. And then he finally got the transfer he kept putting in for was to get back to Kansas City. Cause that's where everybody's family was from. My mom and my dad. So.
And how many siblings?
One sister. Yeah.
And mom and dad, what's dad do?
They're farmers.
Oh, I was going to ask. You really are? So you grew up on a farm?
I didn't grow up on a farm. The farm belonged to my grandparents. So I worked on the farm.
You did?
Yeah, that was my summer job. I was always working on the farm. But it was a good job because my grandfather, he paid well and he paid cash.
Did he pay well? You didn't just have to do it?
Yeah, no.
Oh, hell yeah. So you're employed.
Yeah, I was employed.
But tell us what you're doing, because this is worth money, I'm imagining. It's not easy work.
It was weird.
How old are you at the time?
This would have been in the 80s, so I was, 12.
Middle school.
Yeah, middle school, all the way through high school. And so when the combine goes through the bean fields or the corn fields, it's got these forks, and it gathers all the stuff in. But in the rows, if there a lot of times there's milkweed and shatter cane and all these different types of things that are growing that can clog up the gears. So my job was to go out into these fields and just walk these rows of beans or corn with a machete and cut out the milkweed and the shatter cane out of the rows so they didn't clog up the gears on the combine.
I remember milkweed. I'm from Maryland. That shit was thick. That wasn't an easy little vine to whack.
And you had to cut it off at the root. You couldn't just cut it off at the top.
You had to bend over and smack that thing down by
and rip it out by its roots. And of course, at the time, I was anywhere from 10 to 18, right? So
you had to back for it.
I had a machete, but I turned it into I'm out there doing samurai warrior shit, I'm not focused on the work, I'm cutting it three different ways, doing Zorro, doing, Lord Vader. I'm sure my grandpa would be like, wait, you only did this one acre?
is all you did.
Yeah. And so, I'd go out, my grandfather would drop me off with my machete and a thermos, and I'd go out and just start working.
By yourself?
By myself.
Okay, so wait, let's talk about this day, because now there's no AirPods. There's no Spotify at my fingers. So are you headphones or are you nothing? Just tying a shirt around your head and going.
Going. Me and my thoughts and lonely and, but the good thing was at that age, I didn't have many heavy thoughts. You know, I wasn't overly concerned with anything.
No, but you're out there Jedi-ing and samurai-ing and everything else, just being creative in this field of like.
And the biggest thing for me was, you know, you'd have, you know, he'd drop you off at a 40 acre plot or
that's
whatever.
That's what I want to ask. That's big as and shit. Did your hand walk at a 48?
Yeah. And you work your way down one row. And like, to me, like the real satisfaction is when I got to the end of the row and turn around and come back the other row. You know, I was like, it's like swimming laps. Like I was just kept going and kept going in the sun and the heat. And, you know, but when you're young, you just don't know. One, you don't know any better. Two, it is what it is. And you just do it. And then they would come, either my grandmother or my grandfather would come back out at noon and honk the horn. And so I knew, and that was lunch.
At lunch.
Yeah. So I'd run over and we'd sit there and I'd eat and I would stall, drag it out. All of a sudden I'm a conversationalist, you know. Because I did anything to prevent me.
Yeah,
and eventually it was like, all right, time to go back to work. I was like, oh, for the love of God. So I'd go back and then they'd come back in the evening and honk the horn and I'd go back. And
what'd he pay? Do you remember?
At the time, it was good. It was cash.
Was it a day's pay or was it hourly? Like, how'd he pay?
Day's pay.
Yeah.
Day's pay. And because, you know, the amount of work, some days I'd be motivated and go out there and, you know, make a dent. Mm-hmm. And some days I'd be fucking around, you know, not getting anything done. And so it all came out in the wash. But then as I got older and stronger, he let me use the tractor. And then I was hauling hay bales.
Yeah.
And we didn't have, you know, I would help the neighbors sometimes with they had square bales, but we had the big round bales, those 1,000 pound.
All those circle ones I see out in the field bigger than the goddamn John Deere.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you have to use those. You have a big fork on the front and a fork on the back and so you have to kind of run them through down.
Who the hell are you giving those? Who's taking those?
Ranchers.
Is that feed?
Because in the winter, there's not, you know, all that alfalfa, Milo, all that stuff, you know, you can't get it anywhere. So you have to bale it up in the summer and then feed your livestock in the winter.
All right.
So that's what it's for. So we would bale it up in the summer, then we'd stack it in the barn or out in the field somewhere and then put a tarp over it or whatever. And then in the winter, you know, all the farmers with livestock are just taking it for feed every day, you know. And that's their supply.
Was this when you would do, you say this your summer job, or is it close? Are you commuting or do you go to grandma and grandpa's and stay?
It wasn't that close. It was about two hours. It was a 2 hour drive.
So are you staying for the summer out there?
I would stay for weeks at a time. So I'd like, hey, you need to go down and work at the farm for a couple weeks. Okay. So 2 weeks down there and then I'd come back to Kansas City and I get to hang out with my friends.
And is this mom or dad's side?
Mom's side. And mom's an only child.
Okay.
That's why they're down there running the farm right now. Yeah. So,
and while you had to go do it.
Yeah. And I still go down and help out. My dad, he's, you know, he's in his, today's his birthday, as a matter of fact.
Happy birthday, Mr. Riggle.
And he's 83 and he's out there still working
still
the farm.
Still getting it done.
Mowing pasture and working.
I'll tell you, I really do feel like those people that stayed active, whether it was farming or whatever the fuck
That's the key.
They're keeping their machine in motion. They're using their muscles in different ways. Yep. You know, like if you don't work out for a while and then all of a sudden you hang a light bulb, you're like, God damn, my shoulders.
Everything hurts.
Me.
You hurt yourself. You pull muscles.
He's out there bailing hay and shit. If I went out there right now and did what your dad did, I wouldn't be able to wipe my own ass tomorrow. I promise you that. I promise you I'll be able to move.
It's 100% true. And it does just come down to keeping your body moving. You don't have, like, I played sports in school. And so I'm always thinking, you know, well, I got to go get in some, you know, weightlifting and some sprint workout. And I got to get my cardio up. Give me a break. You know, you get to a certain point in your life, you're like, what am I? I'm not competing in anything that demands this of me.
I had my abs.
Yeah.
So, I had them.
So now it's all just about, like, I don't even have to do anything other than stretch out. Stretch out. That's all I need to do is stretch out. But I also eat too much fucking ice cream now.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I eat it and I can feel the inflammation. I can feel it. My body's just one swollen beast. Everything hurts when I get out of bed. It's all because I put that ice cream down.
I'm pizza, dude. I'm bread.
We all got it.
Yeah.
But me is sugar, man. It's that goddamn ice cream. I can't get enough.
Well, you're right. You know it, dude. Because right now, like if some shit went down and they were like, run, I'd tear everything. My hand.
Everything.
At 50, I can't just break out into a sprint on the spot.
My best friend and I, or one of my best friends, we went to the Royals baseball fantasy camp in 2016. And they tell you, hey guys, you're not as young as you think you are. Everybody's going to try to get out there and get some. Just go easy. All right. Go easy. And we're like, yeah, no, that makes sense. That's good advice. Yeah, I appreciate that. First time I got a hit, I sprinted out of the batter box for first base. I pulled both my quads. Oh yeah, both my quads. I think my hammy. I don't know. Just, and then of course I'm out of the field, and people are like, "You okay?" I'm like, "I'm good. I'm good. I'm so good."
I heard three pops. Yeah, but I'm good.
Someone hits it to me, so I instantly go from a standstill to a sprint. Yeah. I blow out the other.
No,
I was so. My legs were yellow. You know when that deep bruising is yellow? I was yellow legs on the front and the backs. I pulled everything within a matter of days. My arm, I threw out my arm. I had like a tendonitis. I'm like, I got Tommy John surgery. This is all in a matter of two or three days. From a fantasy baseball camp. Royals. And then on top of that, they go, okay, well, we got games today because we play two games a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon by the time we were, you know. And George Brett is my manager of my team, and he's my childhood idol and all this stuff. So I'm like, I got to perform. You know, all
this stuff. And they rotate you around positions and stuff.
Yeah, you get to play first base. Yeah. You get to do all this stuff. And I literally, was the funniest thing ever. The entire fucking camp, all these old men, you know, middle-aged guys, we're all standing in an ice tub. It's one big ice tub. We're standing it up to our tits, and we got beers because we're like, fuck it, we can't do it. And everybody's got – from here down, pink bodies, and they're holding beers, and they're just kind of keeping the beer in the, cold dip because it's so fucking cold in there. And that's it. Everybody was done. No one could play. We were all injured with pulled muscles and stuff. So yeah, I hear you. Nowadays, I just need to stretch.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. And I need to cut down on the sugar, I guess.
So you say your parents now running the farm.
Yeah.
Dad too. Dad and mom are still together.
Yep.
And then your grandparents both gone, or they? Yep, they are.
Yep.
And what was that like for you? Because how old were you when that happened?
They were within probably 6 or 7 years of each other passing. So grandmother passed first. She was a wonderful lady.
You spent a lot of time with her.
I did. And she was a historian. She was kind of the Cooper County historian, and she really enjoyed it and turned me on to history. Even though I didn't. You know, at the time, you know, teenage boy, I want to play video games. I want to, you know, I don't know, play, you know, samurai.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in history, basically. But she would drag me, you know, hey, we're going to go to do this. We're going to go do that. I'm da, 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 da. And she was very into history. And she lit a fuse in me somehow, some way. It got through my armor. And now I'm so grateful to her because my passion for history now comes from her, clearly. And I really appreciate her giving me that. And she was a great laugher. She loved good stories. She was very willing to laugh at herself. Chain smoker.
Yeah.
That woman smoked.
And this is back how old?
Like in the 70s and 80s too. Like, okay, so I remember one spring break, my freshman year of high school. I'm a ninth grader, right? Prepubescent, on the verge, you know? And it was spring break, and she calls my mom and says, "We're going on a road trip. You know, grab Rob, because we, you know, back then we didn't spring break. We didn't have plans. You know, you just had a week off of school." Next thing I know, I'm in grandma's Cadillac with my mom. You know, not the coolest thing in the world, but we're driving around Kentucky, looking at old grave sites because she's trying to get in the Daughters of the American Revolution or something. And you have to prove that you have a family member that was in the Revolutionary
War. She wants to be buried.
Right. But this was before the internet. Yeah. This is before the internet or anything. So I was the internet. So basically they'd hand me one of those scratch pads, you know, or whatever. And we would pull up, and it's freezing. It's March, you know, and we'd pull up at a graveyard and she'd go, "It should be 3 rows deep, 7 rows over, you know, and it should be a headstone. Look for Ryan Ososo." And I go, "Oh, Jesus." So they kicked me out of the car, and I'd have to go through these graveyards finding headstones and etch them, you know, whatever, and come back and go, "This one." They go, "No, that's not it," you know, and then, "God damn it." Yeah. So I'm driving all over Kentucky doing this stuff. Yeah, she's just chain smoking. And she barely cracked the window. When she did, it looked like Spicoli's van, you know, just smoke rolling out of it and shit. And then when I got back in the car, it was no mercy. It was still just relentless chain smoking. And a week in the car with that, you know, by the time I got back, I had bags under my eyes and pale skin.
So what's she having you scratch for? Is that she's saying that was my relative there?
Yeah, because then she could say, okay, this man does exist.
Right.
He is buried in this place. And then
I'm
she could,
related
because
to him.
The genealogy back then was not you know, what they have today. You know, you had to do the work. You had to go to county libraries. You had to go dig up obituaries. You had to go back and connect dots on. I mean, it was work, and she would do it, but I was off in her legs, you know, on that stuff. So anyway, she passed. She was 80. So she had a good long life, but
especially smoking like that.
But yeah, she smoked a lot. And then my grandfather, he was a World War II vet, hardworking guy, nice, funny, loved to play cards, you know, good natured folk. He ran the farm, you know, after Grammy passed. And then he passed probably 5 or 6 years later. He was 90 something.
Wow.
Yeah. So he made it to his 90s.
Was it just old age that finally got him?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was his heart.
When did he really slow down though? Like when did you see
He had a heart attack. He had a big heart attack.
In his 80s though.
He was 87.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When he had the heart attack.
But up until then, he was still out there getting it done and everything up until 87.
Yeah. And just, you know, still I'll go, I'll work, I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, like I got it. You know, like, let me do something, you know. Yeah. But you know, again, I think they came from tougher stock. They just did.
Definitely.
You know? And so
I talk about it all the time. Your grandfather's World War II, our fathers are Vietnam, and we're like, I want to be a clown. And like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Exactly.
They're just different men.
Oh, yeah.
They're just different men.
So the other day
I had to go to D-Day. I would have killed myself. I would have killed myself. Like, never mind. I'll just get it done.
Yeah, like I served in the Marines, and so I didn't have a problem with doing certain things. But even now, like the other day, literally just last week, I walked in, opened my refrigerator, and the light wasn't on. I could tell it wasn't working. I was like, well, it's broken. Time to buy a new refrigerator.
Buy a new one.
That's my first thought. Yeah. Let me check things. Let me troubleshoot this.
Because we have Google and YouTube to look at. They didn't.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, the light worked on when I came in the kitchen. So I don't think it's the fuse box, right? But I was like, well, I've got to do something or all this food's going to spoil. You know. But I was pouting about it. I didn't want to do anything. I was like, just fucking work. I don't have time for this bullshit. You know, I've got other things to do. Whatever that is. Read something on the internet, probably. But I had an epiphany and I was like, oh, well, let me see if maybe it's some just this section. And sure enough, the coffee maker wasn't working. I was like, ah, okay. So it is. So I went out to the fuse. It's just the fuse box. I just had to flip the thing. Yeah. That's it. Everything went back to work. But I was willing to buy a new refrigerator is my point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, had I been given the option in that moment, I would have said, yeah, buy it. I'll buy it. I'll buy it. Let's just so fucking check it, Riggle.
Definitely.
Jesus Christ. That's
they are definitely different, man. Yeah. They can build shit, like build a deck. I can't build a deck. I can fish. I can do that kind of shit, but I can't. Yeah. I can fish. I can run a trot line. We used to crab all the time. I can do that. I used to be able to, on my old cars, I would do my oil, my brakes, my tune-ups, all that shit.
Oh, you could really do it. You're good.
I can't do it now. Yeah. You know, like I go to my stepson's big into cars and college working on them and stuff. And I'm like, they told me when I leased this fucking car, it's got 30 some computers on it. And he's like, yep. And if you fuck anything up, you know, and I'm like, I don't even know how to do that.
Well, I have a Tesla. Yeah. And I'm baffled half the time. They're like, it's a software download problem. And I'm like, well, fucking fix it. Cause I can't get in and out of my car. I can't open the passenger door. I can't do, you know, and I don't know jack shit about it. And I don't have time. This is not what I signed up to be. I didn't sign up to do this. I'm not a computer engineer. Yes. I'm not a software engineer.
That's it.
So make the car work or fuck off.
I'm in a building now where everything's fancy and the fucking appliances are Nest and all this shit. Yeah. The dude came in the other day, this older Mexican dude, and we're talking. I said, you know what? Fuck this. And he goes, the executive shit. It goes on when it wants to fucking go on. Yeah. I said, you know what used to work all the time? My old school Honeywell thermostat.
Yes.
I just flicked that little button and I never had a problem with it.
Never thought about it.
Ever.
Ever.
It didn't just come on and go off when it wanted to. This fucking fridge over here is dinging nonstop. Yeah. Tell me about the freezer. The dishwasher's not flashing a red light on the floor. Why is there a light on the floor?
What's he trying to tell me?
All my old shit worked. Just fine.
Fine.
Just fine.
I couldn't agree. You know, and I do believe that, you know, for a multitude of reasons, but men are losing a lot of man skills, quote, man skills.
100%.
But the women are losing a lot of women's skills. I mean, you know, it's really hard to find women that have traditional feminine skills. And it's hard to find a man who has traditional masculine skills.
Agreed.
So I'm not throwing rocks here, but it is
hard. You're throwing rocks at both sides.
But yeah, but it's hard. It's hard to find it these days.
It is.
I consider myself very. I have a girlfriend right now who is she's an amazing cook. She's an amazing cook. She takes care. She can do stuff. She's not intimidated to repair things and she's
get a drill.
Yeah, she's got skills. Like I'm like, okay, all right. I feel very
you know why
to have
she probably
that.
Had a dad like we did.
She did. She absolutely did. Well, and she's from Poland. And so her, you know, I think she just, they don't throw away stuff over there, you know, back in the day. And her folks grew up in a lot tougher regime than most people. So, yeah, she's just tougher.
So let me ask you this then, because I want to go back to this working early and in the fields and stuff like that. Because you're a hell of a hustler. You're everywhere. Do you feel like that work ethic was instilled in you from that sort of summer work and really just getting out there and like fucking humping it like that to make a few bucks?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was, yes. I think there was an expectation that you would work.
That's your first sort of job ever, right? You're in middle school. Yeah, I can't imagine doing anything before that.
Yeah, mowing lawns back in Kansas. Mm-hmm. But yes, that was, there's an expectation. And there was a lot of pride in your work, you know, and a lot of, you know, my dad, when I mowed lawns, he was like, you got to bag it up.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, dad, they don't even want a bag, you know, like you got to bag it up. Okay. It needs to look nice. It needs to look good. If you're going to do it right. Or don't
do it right
it.
The first time.
Right. And you don't have to go back. You know, it's like that Abraham Lincoln quote. I'm a slow walker, but I never walk backwards. He goes, just do your work, you know, and you know, you get that beat into you enough and you start doing it. And then when you start owning stuff and you start, then you're like, yeah, I care about this. You know, I remember I was lucky. My dad and my mom bought me my first car. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was it?
My first car was my mom's old car. It was a 76 Chrysler Newport.
Okay.
Big 400 block engine in it, 7 miles to the gallon. I swear to God. Because it was 76. And it was the first year to have that catalytic converter.
Early power steered into, like, if you touched it, the car like, all over the
road. And there was some clog in the fuel line, too. So when you push the gas, it would die. The engine would go, ugh. But if you held it, you know, like, so you'd push hard because you were afraid it was going to die. It would roar to life. So go, ugh. And then you'd lay rubber every intersection. Yeah. You're like, I'm not trying to. I swear, I just want to. It's just going to die.
High beam clicks on the floor. Is it the
post? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. My
absolutely.
Favorite. I still think the high beam should be there.
Click, click. Come on. That's a driver's dream. But yeah. So to that. But I had it was a Sunbird, a little Pontiac Sunbird. Yeah. And I treated that car like shit. Okay. Because I didn't, it was given to me. I I'm not obnoxiously treated like shit, but I, you know, it was very, it was very like, whatever. You know, I got a door ding. I was like, well, that sucks. Ownership changes everything. It really does. Cause as soon as I got my first car and I pay, I'm making the payments on it. And I'm not kidding. I used to take it and wax it every Sunday. I used to, you know, I mean, I treated that thing like gold. I would, and it, because it mattered, that changes how you approach things. So learning the work ethics, learning that stuff early, a lot of the lessons you learn early, that you haven't connected the dots on things yet. Mm-hmm. You just do it because they say to do it and trust them. And you're like, all right, fine, whatever. And you do it. But then if you're lucky, you get to a place in your life where you're like, you have these epiphanies where you're like, oh, I get it now. I see why it matters. I see why this is important. I see why he cared. I see, if I'm paying someone to do something and they do a good job, I'm like, oh, that's amazing. You did a good job. Thank you for caring. Thank you for investing in your job and working at it and effort. And if you become a boss, then, you know, you start to appreciate the work of others and you see, you can separate the wheat from the chaff real fast. You can be like, this guy's not going anywhere. This guy's going to be my boss someday, mm-hmm. you know, and it's real clear to see, real clear. So anyway, yes, I think working down on that farm early helped get the work ethic in there. And then the Marines obviously helped too.
Yeah, I'll bet. What made you decide to want to go in the Marines?
Always wanted to serve. I just thought I was very idealistic.
Grandfather was Air Force,
Army. Back then, it was Army Air Corps.
And what was your dad? Marine as well.
No. He never served.
Oh, he didn't.
No, he wanted to. He was willing to. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. He was willing to, but he had the best run of luck you've ever heard of. So when he was first eligible, Kennedy came in and said,
Kennedy. I'm sorry, I'm just hearing his name. Yeah.
Kennedy came in and said, if you're in college, your draft is deferred until you're out of college.
Okay.
So he was in college. So his draft got deferred until after college. He got married. And then Johnson came in and said, okay, if you're married and have a job or whatever, your draft is deferred. So he got deferred again. And then there was another thing that got him.
Is there an age cutoff?
No. Well, yes. I think 35 or something. 35. But you know, anyway, he got these deferments. And by the time, you know, they never called him. They just never called him. So he was in the, his
he
name
was ready
was in
to
there,
go, but never got
but
the
they
call.
Just never got the call. So
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, you I'm might very not happy. Be exactly. Here. So I'm very happy.
No matter where or how you're hydrating this season, Liquid IV is the hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier can keep you going through the end of the year and beyond. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients all in a single stick. Now it's available in sugar-free. You can choose from 3 delicious flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime, which is my favorite. I'll tell you, I love Liquid IV. You guys know they've been a sponsor for a long time here at The Do. We love them. We give them out to every guest that comes in. They're so generous with their supplies. Man, we have them here at the studio. We take them on the road. We give them out to guests. Everybody loves Liquid IV. And 1 stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, no artificial sweeteners, and 0 sugar, plus contains 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 20% off of anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the Do. So what made you always want to serve then? Was it your grandfather's influence or?
Maybe there was something there. There's a lot of military in my family going mm-hmm. way back. So I always had affinity for that. I was very idealistic. I really believed, and I still do in America. Kennedy's, you know, what can you do for your country? Don't ask what they can do for you. What can you do for them? I liked that. I believed in that. I thought the best way I could serve this country was through military service. So that's what I did. And
So it wasn't this thing like I'm in Kansas, there's no other option for me or no way.
No, listen, I was in college. I had, you know.
You
was,
were in college. Oh, yeah. Where'd you go?
Kansas University.
Oh, you're a Jayhawk?
I'm a Jayhawk.
All right, bro.
Yeah.
So you were in college and left, or did you graduate and then go?
I graduated. Well, I signed up when I was an undergrad. I signed up when I was 19.
Okay.
Went through the Officer Candidate Program. And when I graduated, I took my commission. And I had my pilot's license at the time. So
how'd you get a pilot's license?
My grandfather. Because he was in the Army Air Corps. He was like...
Did he have like a little Cessna or something at the farm?
No, he just wanted to be a pilot when he was in the Army. Mm-hmm. But I think he was too short, so he couldn't get or they do measurements in the cockpit. You know, his legs were too short or something was too short, his torso or something. So he didn't get to fly when he was in the Army Air Corps. He was intelligence officer. So he was intelligence sergeant. But anyway, he was doing other stuff. But he always wanted to fly. So he was like, listen, if you want to get your pilot's license, I'll pay for it. So I was like, yeah. So I did. And then I got a flight contract with the Marines. So
you flew for the Marines?
I started flying for the Marines.
What were you flying?
Just T-34s.
What's it? I'm ignorant.
That's a training. It's a training plane.
But are we talking about jets or is this like a cargo plane?
It's a single engine trainer.
Single engine.
Single engine trainer. Flew down to Corpus Christi, and I had, like I said, I had my pilot's license while I was an undergrad. So I used to fly Cessnas, Pipers, you know, all kinds of different planes.
Like 19 to 20 years old, you're flying that shit?
Yeah.
And that didn't scare you? Did you ever have any close calls?
No, I didn't have any close calls. I had scary moments. I was on a cross country one time and.
You flew it across country?
Well, but when I call it across country in aviation terms, is 50 miles or more.
Okay.
So, I was flying from Lawrence, Kansas down to Springfield, Missouri.
And what, do you just land at an airport and then come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you get cross country time.
Right.
And
that's your training.
Right. But I was doing a solo cross country.
Okay.
And that's usually a three-leg trip. So I flew from Lawrence, Kansas to Columbia, Missouri, down to Springfield, Missouri, and then back to Lawrence, Kansas.
And are you constant communication this whole time? Is someone always there?
No.
No.
You're on your own, and you're talking to towers, and you're talking to airports.
What, when you get in reach?
Yeah.
So if some shit goes down in between, then haven't heard from Robin. Yeah,
you
got
to deal with it.
Okay.
So, but I remember, and back then, you know, now they have all these wonderful navigations
I feel like now a GPS on your probably an app on your fucking
absolutely.
Phone.
Your phone can get you anywhere you need to go. And the avionics they have now are phenomenal. Well, back then it was old school, you know, annotated, you know, you had your six pack of, you know, airspeed, fuel, you know, horizon, all that stuff. But it was there. You didn't have what you have today. So you had a big map, literally an old paper map that you would unfold and you had to draw on your lines and estimated your fuel and done all this and figured out all the comms and all that stuff beforehand. And as I was flying from Springfield to back to Lawrence or vice versa, Columbia down to Springfield, I'm like, because it's visual flight rules, VFR. So I'm sitting there looking, going, okay, there's that city. Because when you're up at about 5,000 feet, you can say, okay, there's a city, there's the highway, there's a gravel pit. Okay, I know exactly where I'm at. I'm right where I should be. But I got up there and I was like, I couldn't find where I was and I was lost and I'm flying. And it's a very scary feeling because you're like, nothing is where it should be. And you're burning fuel and you're just flying somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. And you're like, this is not good. You need to get your bearings quickly. And you're just by yourself. You know?
And are you over fields out there? Or
you're over cities, fields, hot roads. Okay. You know, you're just taking it to the streets. And the good thing but I liked it. There was resilience in it, lessons in resilience, because no one's going to solve that problem but you. The plane's not going to land itself. No one's going to find where you are. You know, you've got to solve these problems. And so you just have to calm down, get your breath, keep the plane straight and level and start working the problem. And you start going, okay, where am I? What do I see? I see this city off here. I just flew over a gravel pit. Big industrial gravel pit. That's something like that's on the map. So let's start you start working the problem. And then I found myself. And of course I was a little off or whatever and corrected for it, landed safely. Everything's good. But those are resilient lessons or whatever, you know?
All right. So I want to shift gears to something now because you seem like you had a hell of a wonderful time growing up.
No complaints.
Yeah.
No complaints.
I mean, you don't have any, any unfortunate early deaths from patriarchs or matriarchs. No. You don't seem like it got wild. So you had a solid upbringing of your sounds like grandparents were together till literally death do us part. Your mom and dad are still together. How long have they been married now?
This was 60 years.
Okay. So at what age do you become a father? And did you always want to be a dad?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, okay. I did. I wanted to be a father, and I became one in the spring of 04 to my daughter, who is she's in college right now studying to be – she's a theater major, and she's very talented, I will say that. So I cringe sometimes when I think about my kids going to do a life in the arts because it's tough. It's a tough road.
My daughter's 9 and I tell her now, like, I will support anything you want to do, but if you could do anything other than this shit, do it. There's no structure. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. Somebody can look at you and go, you remind me of an aunt that I fucking hated.
Yeah.
Pass.
Exactly.
And it's got nothing to do with anything else.
There's so much subjectivity to it.
So much.
So much. Now you can
often by people who are nowhere near as qualified as you or as good as you or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. A lot of failed
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This is now booking this.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Like, oh, now you're a gatekeeper all of a sudden. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's so life in the arts can be hard. And there's no way around
that. It is hard.
And the good thing, though, I will say this, though. I do in my heart of hearts believe that talent can't be denied.
Agreed.
Not forever.
Agreed. They can hold you down
for 20 or 30 years.
They can hold you down for a while or keep you out of things for a while, or you may miss an opportunity, or you know, something doesn't connect, or for whatever reason the stars don't align. But eventually, if you've got the talent and you got the drive, you're going to get your shot.
That's the other part. It's the drive.
You do. You got to have that.
You got to have that hustle.
Yeah, you got to have it.
There's a lot of talented people out there right now that have no fucking hustle, and they could be gazillionaires, and they're just sitting there bitching and boohooing with all the fucking more talented than you and I combined.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. It's a tale as old as time.
And that's where I was getting at with you sitting in these fields all day long, just chopping bushes. It fucking builds, a hustle. It builds a drive. It builds a motivation. You're going to find out real quick. Your grandfather came back and was like, nope, you're done. But he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't because you worked.
Yeah.
So you're a married man at the time. This is what I wanted to ask you about, because you come from no divorce.
Yeah.
None of that. And then you get divorced.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was engaged. We didn't even get to the marriage.
Yeah.
So I want to know from your point of view, like as a dad, like how did that mess with you and did it? Were you able to talk to your father as a resource to go through something, even though he had never had to, you know? So what was that like for you?
Well, it's tricky because this is really unfortunate. But the divorce is still going on. It's been going on for 3 years. It's really painful and it's really ugly and it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't never be, but it is. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I can't even really talk about it because
I respect that. Yes,
because there's still all this legal action that's got to take place. But it broke my heart. it just shattered it. It really did. And I don't talk about it very much. Because I do, I feel, you know, I feel like I failed, you know, I we were married
as what, a husband or yeah, a father? Everything.
No,
or?
No, not, you know, I have,
they're separate.
By the way, the divorce was a good thing.
Okay.
It was a really good
thing.
The
right thing.
It was the right thing. That's probably a good way to say it. It was the right thing. Doesn't make it any less painful. Doesn't make it any less hurtful. Doesn't make, you know, and especially the stuff now has become so hurtful and so unnecessary. But that is not the life I envisioned. I had a vision in my mind of what my life was going to be, and it did not turn out that way. And so you have to, it takes a lot to recalibrate what your dreams are, what your hopes are, what you want for your kids, you know, all that stuff.
How to shift gears now into being a single parent.
Can we
stay close in proximity and all that? I want to be around them. I want to see them. I want to be a dad, not a fucking pal.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have 50-50 custody. Great. You know, so we make that work. Anyway, there's just a lot of stuff. But
so how was
so
your
it's very
dad
frustrating. And my dad was resource. Great. My dad was amazing. You know, that's the thing. You know, you take your parents for granted so easily because you think they don't know.
And we also think this is a generation. Again, yeah, we're talking exactly. about these old school walk it off motherfuckers.
Right. What would he know about heartache? You know, what a stupid thing to think. You know, what would he think of? You know, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Well, he might not know what I'm personally going through, right? Because he hasn't been in that situation of divorce or what, you know, all the things that came up with that. But he knows me and he knows the human condition. He knows betrayal. He knows hurt. He has a wealth of lifetime experience. And more importantly, he wasn't there to lecture or to, you know, pump me up with advice or whatever. He knows I'm a pretty savvy guy. He knows I have pretty good emotional intelligence. Pretty good. Nobody's perfect, but pretty good. And so he just was a great resource, a great listener, and offered really, you know, good advice, good sound advice that resonated with me and made me realize, yeah, you know what? I've been looking at this wrong. I've been thinking about this with the wrong mindset. And so to have that guidance from somebody that you really admire and really care about and value their opinion, man, that's invaluable. And it's that thing where, you know, God forbid my kids, you know, I don't want them to have hard times, but it's inevitable, right? And you can't protect them. Now I want them to be resilient right. when the hard times come.
That's right.
Because they're coming.
They're coming.
Yeah. I got through most of my life pretty good, but I got walloped.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this because a lot of people get walloped early. What year did it really age? I mean, did it start hitting for you?
My beating started at 50.
Nah.
Yeah.
For real, dude? Yeah. You got hit.
Well, no, but no.
Some that's people don't even live that long.
No, I know, but now we're talking about what I would consider, you know, the thing that's hurt.
The most difficult
the thing
in your life.
Hurt me the most. Now, I've been to war. 50. I've been to, you know, I've done other things.
I'm seen horrible
that are trying, right? But nothing broke my heart. Nothing broke my heart like this did. Okay. This was a heartbreaker.
What was the hardest part about this? I know you're still in it, but when it happened, what was the hardest part for you?
I can't drill down on too much of this because I don't want to say too many things.
But just
the betrayal, the
what about not getting to see your kids every day now?
Yes.
Now they're
yes.
Because let me ask you questions instead of asking you this because I'm going to be respectful here.
Yeah.
I would do a lot of future tripping. My daughter lives 2 miles away with her mom when she's with her mom. Yeah. But to me, it's fucking Mars. Mm-hmm. It might as well be Mars over there. Yeah. There's a whole nother world going on over there, things going on that I don't know about. It comes back to me through my daughter or whatever it is. And that was also like, all right, well, here's this kid. So it happened for me young. She was one. Here's this kid now that I lose half her fucking life. Just statistically, if we're 50-50, that's fucking gone.
Yeah.
And then the other half of the time, what the hell's going on over there that nobody wants to tell me about and what's happening? So I would find myself like freaking out about any dude she'd want to bring in. And, you know, she's got a good boyfriend now, I'll be honest. He gets the job. His job was to take care of her. Mm-hmm. My daughter's got a dad. Yeah. You do what you need to do over there. Yeah. And I also know that when I start getting shit at me, homeboy's not doing his job over there. I'm like, you need to step it up for all of us right now, bro. Okay. I got the dad shit. You take care of
that. Well, some of that stuff was just repugnant to me. The thought of another man
engaging
with my child, you know, on that level, you know, it was repugnant. I guess I've had to grow up because it's reality, you know, and that's
what we're talking about. Life doesn't give a fuck what you want.
Exactly.
I saw my daughter's mother had a boyfriend, and I saw my daughter was young, and she went up and she hugged his leg, and it crushed me.
Yeah.
It crushed me. Yeah. But then I had to be a man about it and say, well, you know what? My daughter's not scared of that man. Mm-hmm. He must be kind to her.
Yeah.
He must be treating her in a way where
it's a good mindset. And it's a hard mindset.
And then I cry again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like,
But that's a good mindset. That's a good way to look at it. That's a really good way. Because you could torture yourself.
Torture yourself. Yeah, and you could. Did you beat yourself up for a
beginning,
while?
In the beginning, I was just so hurt by all of it. I was just so, because I was, I was a little caught off guard by things, and you know, so I was hurt. I was really, really hurt by all of it. Just upset by, and then there were some, you know, other antics that, you know, just there's all these things that, you know, and everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. I got it. So the thing that bothers me though, you know, is that not, you know, I could go off, but I can't at the same time. So I need to. It's just so frustrating. None of where I'm at now is not necessary.
Unnecessary.
All of it.
I know.
All of it.
So let me ask you this then. How are you being a good dad now? How are you still trying to work through this and be the dad now that you need to be? Because now you can't be everyday dad and over there all the time under the same roof. And
I think just trying, you know, you have to be so careful because part of you is like, I'm going to dazzle. I'm going to make it the best times ever. We're going to go do amazing things. And, you know, you're flailing at that point. And that's not.
We can't be doing Disneyland. Yeah, Legoland, exactly.
And it's not true to yourself. It's not true. And, you know, the kids eventually, they may like some of the perks of you freaking out, but eventually, you know, that's not what they need.
No.
You know, and if you care about them, then you have to give them tools to win in life. Which, you know, is a struggle because the teenagers go through some very weird withdrawals, you know, and I remember being a pubescent teenage boy, you know, I withdrew, you know, you kind of go into your cave to kind of figure out what's going on and what's happening to you and why this is happening and where you fit in the world and what's your niche and what are you good at? And it happens to boys and girls. I think it happens in different ways. Mm-hmm. Because now it's kind of fun. My daughter's in college. She's 19. She'll be 20 this year. But she, what I enjoy seeing is, I remember her in high school, you know, very withdrawn, very almost a FU vibe. It wasn't. She was always gracious and nice, but it was very much, I don't have time. And now she wants to make time. Now we're connecting. Now she's like coming back a little bit. And now the boy's going through his withdrawal. Which I think is natural. I think it's age appropriate. I think it's natural. But when you're in a divorce situation, you always panic and think something's wrong. Right. Something's double wrong. I gotta jump in here and do something.
Yeah, and you can't. Yeah. You don't have a partner to even talk to.
That's the problem. I don't have anybody
with it. Like, hey, so, what are you seeing? What are you thinking? Yeah.
So that part blows because so all I can do is what I think I've tried to do my whole life, which is set the example, and that's it. Try to. Be gracious, be fun, be happy. If he's screwing up, call him out on it. You know, don't let him get away with shit. You still got chores to do. This isn't a cakewalk. That's and get off your ass and let's go do something because you're not going to sit here and play on your phone all day. It's Saturday. You know, let's go.
Do that tomorrow while I'm watching football.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, like Sunday.
I tell my daughter, take your tablet, do whatever you want.
I always say, we'll watch football.
I'm right here.
He's on his phone playing video games, whatever. But all you can do is just try to do that. And when I say set the example, I mean, show them how you interact with people. Like I said, I have a girlfriend I'm dating now. She's a wonderful lady, wonderful lady. So I want him to see, you know, hopefully a healthy thing looks like.
Agreed. Like they should see what, you know, love looks like. Yes. Their dad gets to love this lady. This lady's nice to their father. That feels good in here. That
exactly.
looks good.
Yeah. And so that's the best you can do, I think, you know, and you just have to trust that not everything is as fragile as you think it is. Not everything. You can't worry about everything all the time. I hear from most people, the number one regret they have at the end of their life is they worried too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I always hear, do you have any advice for somebody over there? I was asking these octogenarians and all these, and they were like, yeah, don't worry so much. Just relax, you know, and live your life. And so, yeah, I just want the best for the kids. And if I can help them be resilient when they face troubles, because they're going to get hit. You don't get out of this thing.
Here's what I'm saying. Didn't hit you till 50. Think about that.
Nobody gets out alive and no one gets out without any scars.
Hell
no. So I consider myself lucky that the scars that I got didn't come till, the ones that really hurt me didn't come till late. I broke up with girls and they broke up with me and I got fired from jobs and there's things that sucked.
Right.
Sucked.
There's difference than devastating.
Than things that really take your breath away and things that break your heart.
Tell me about this then, because this is a solo thing that you could talk about. Your lowest. At that point, where were you?
Well, it seemed like the whole world had turned into a shit show because this all happened at the beginning of COVID.
Oh, yeah. You know? Years. That's right. 2020.
So it God, all started. So
that's all going on. And then the world's
upside down. Right. People are wearing masks. Everybody's angry at each other. You know, I was in a confused state. Almost.
Did you
like,
go get your own place?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about the first night you spent in that place.
Yeah. Sad night. Hard.
Yeah.
The reality, you know, I think there's a level of denial maybe where in the back of your mind, it started as a separation. Mm-hmm. And then it turned into, other things.
Were there at least hopes that you think you were hoping you could make it work out from the separation standpoint first?
Okay. Yes, of course.
So your mindset is, all right, this is temporary. We'll try to work this out.
Yes, okay. Of course. And then there's a level of, some other things happened in there that led me to believe that was the case. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was quite the opposite.
Okay.
So I was,
so then there's a new realization.
Is it possible to say double devastating?
it was a
double whammy. Okay.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was
so a little. So now you're dealing with a whole new thing right there.
Yeah.
So now you know you're there. This is it.
Yeah. And you know, and then there's always the reflection, like, you always reflect. I think you should anyway. You know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How could I have done it different? Oh, you know, you think about the good times. But then, you know, you start to work your way through it. You have family and friends, thank God. Therapist, you know, that was a big help. Getting your head right. And then realizing.
Who was your biggest help? Who was your biggest ally?
My dad was
I just had a feeling you were going to say
dad.
That.
My dad really.
Which is interesting for a man that again, you don't think he's from the feelings generation and also never went through this either, you know?
And he amazed me with his emotional intelligence. He amazed me with his understanding of, you know, some of the intimate details of what was going on. And, you know, just no judgment, never judged any of it, but was open to hearing all of it because I didn't pull any punches with him. You know, I said, look, here's everything. And, you know, that's scary.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is to admit that.
Yeah, and yet he took it all in, processed it, and then gave me his honest assessment on where things were and what he thought of the situation. And that perspective I value so much. So I'm forever grateful.
Yeah.
Because he really delivered at a time when I needed him to.
See, my dad died when he was 42. I was 16. I wish I had this. I'm sitting here listening to you thinking like, God, I wish I could have had my dad to talk to when this happened. Because he went through this. He did go through this. And I would have been like, what was that like for you? You know, my mom's cheating on him. There's no text. an hour away at National Airport working for Pan Am. He can't, you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, I'm sitting here listening to that. What about your mom? Was your mom someone that was a little more reserved on this? Or
yeah, well, my mom's an old German school teacher. You know, she's tough, but very loving and very gracious. So I'm not picking on mom. She's great.
But dad was the guy.
But and yeah, and she was a great listener too. But dad was the voice I needed to hear. You know, I needed to hear from a masculine energy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then my girlfriend, she was really nice and really supportive and really understood what was happening, could see it for what it was, and was patient, still is, because it's still going on.
Yeah,
and still very patient with, you know, some ugliness. So I was, and my sister was fantastic. My sister's amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Are they as good grandfathers and grandmoms and aunts as they are dads, moms, and sisters?
Yeah. They're amazing people. I feel so lucky. And even my best friends back in Kansas City, or my Marine buddies, or, you know, anybody that is in my, you know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Inner circle that I reached out and talked to, or dealt, you know, brought it up. Because, yeah, also I don't want to dump my problems on people. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares.
No one cares.
You know, that sounds harsh, yes, or whatever. But at the end of the day,
everyone's got their shit.
Everybody's got their shit, right?
Got,
you know,
their own shit.
But I want to be there for my friends. You know, when they're hurting, I want to. Listen, what do you need? You need me to listen? You want advice? You want me to shut up? You want me to, you know, you want to drink beers? What are we going to do? What are we doing here? I want to be that for them as well. And they were that for me. And I got great, great advice from some really great people. So I feel blessed in that sense too.
So after going through, or even still going through, a horrible heartbreak like this, how was it trying to get back out there and meet new people? You obviously met someone, but what was that like, to be vulnerable, honestly, again, to open yourself up again?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I met my girlfriend very quickly. It didn't take long. We met and kind of hit it off right away. And then, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I was ready for it at all in the beginning. I think I was still in a state of shock about everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the first part of a relationship, and I hope this doesn't hurt her feelings or whatever, but, you know, I might not have been fully
there,
present.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
not that I didn't enjoy our time, right, or didn't care, or I did, but I was.
But there's a cyclone going,
yes,
on. Yes,
exactly. And now I really have an appreciation for her, and a deep love and gratitude for her, because she is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And a renewed faith, maybe, cautiously.
This is leading to my next question.
Yeah, because, you know, when you stick your finger in the socket, sticking it back in the socket again can be very scary. So it's like, but I'm hoping that it does feel right, you know. So
we'll are you, see. As my question was going, yeah, to be, are you open to the idea of possibly remarrying again?
I'm open to it.
You, yeah, are.
I'm open.
You're
to
not
it.
Like, nope,
no,
not,
you know,
doing that again.
I have been, you know, over the last couple years, I've been maybe a little down on love, down on.
I would say so.
Yeah, yeah, you know, a little jaded, little, you know, mm-hmm, you know, I hear a tale of love gone wrong, And of course, you know, I'm like, you goddamn, well, no shit. of course that's going
to
happen.
So easy to get.
Fucking lines, you know, and I start going off, right? And then I got to reel it back in.
Yeah.
And I got to remember, that's not everybody. That's not every story. That's not right. Everybody. That's
your
not
parents,
every.
Your parents, your grandparents. There's you, so, you have family yes. to look at right
you
there
have to take
under
life,
your own roof.
Life and people one at a time, mm-hmm. you know, and just one day, one person. And let things live or die on their own merit, not the baggage you bring to it, not the other stuff. So, yes, I have not quit on happiness or love or companionship or any of that.
What would you do differently in this marriage?
Boy, that's a good question. I would not put my head in the sand. I would deal with issues that need to be dealt with when they need to be dealt with. And I would not be afraid of the outcome.
That's a great fucking answer. Yeah, a lot of us just put our head down.
I put my head in the sand
along,
and I was afraid of the outcome.
Let the shit stack up and then here it comes.
Yeah. I would not do that again. And I will not do that again.
And are your kids, and I don't want to bring your kids up, but are they comfortable with you dating and how did they take that? Like dad's back out there again?
Yeah,
they're been, a little older, I guess. So.
Yeah, they've been really good about it.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they see both their parents dating. So I think it's just something that they're dealing with, you know, and I'm sure they didn't want to see the family end either. You know, it's the death of a dream. I didn't want to see it end. I'm sure they didn't want to see it. Nobody, you know. So that's painful. And that takes time to recalibrate your feelings, your emotions to even understand it. And when you're young and you don't know, you don't have any frame of reference really of what heartache feels like, what pain feels like, what is this? You know, it takes time because they don't have a frame of reference.
Nope.
You know, when it happened to me at 50, I had all kinds of examples and friends and I've had disappointments and I've had heartbreak.
But you've also, you're 50. So your life experience, your knowledge, they know
and
nothing.
I had trouble processing.
Right. Exactly. That's what
right?
I'm saying.
So if I'm having trouble processing
a
15-year-old.
50,
yeah. Then to put that onto a child's plate, you know, it can be very confusing and challenging, obviously.
I'm a kid of a child of divorce, and I remember it happened fifth grade. And I remember, obviously, the way I felt was devastated. But my daughter, it happened to her at one. She didn't even fucking remember it. And I think about that. Think about hearing your kid's age now. I'm thinking about me and her. Is it better to happen then early and you live that way knowing you, mom and dad are this? Or is it better to at least experience mom and dad loving each other for a little while and then all of a sudden the axe drops? I'm not sure.
I don't know the answer.
I don't either. I kind of think it might be getting it out early. Yeah.
Where they don't have any
right
picture in their mind.
Right. And mom and dad are cool with each other enough. We're professional. We get along enough to go to the game. You know, we do all the right thing. We're 50-50. She covers. I cover. We switch. We're good on it. We're good on it. Listen to me. Ugh. It took a minute. It didn't happen right away, bro. It took a minute. Because I can tell you that first 3 years was hot. Mm. But we got there. We're there now. And we don't bat 1,000, you know. But I'd say, honest to God, we're 7.5 out of 10. And
that's a dream.
Fucking bad.
That's a dream.
It's a dream.
It's a dream.
That ain't bad. I didn't know we'd ever get there.
Yeah.
But maybe 8 sometimes. Yeah. You know, we... And then for parties, birthday parties and shit, like my car just got broken into and they stole my daughter's. It's nonsense,
but
they stole her whole soccer bag with her ball or cleats. Yeah. But it sucks because I got to buy it all again. You know what I'm saying? So she's crying because she feels violated. I'm like, don't even worry about it. You're getting all new shit. But I can call her mom and be like, hey, this happened.
Yeah.
Please take, I'll pay for it. Just take her and get the stuff because she needs it for this weekend. So they went and did all that already. So, we, you know, we're there. Were there, but it didn't start that way.
Sure. That's fantastic. I
wish you the best.
Yeah.
I genuinely appreciate you coming on here and opening up about this stuff. I
can't drill down obviously for a lot of reasons. And
yeah,
so I appreciate you understanding that.
Of course.
But I appreciate you inviting me here.
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
I told you before we recorded that I asked guests their first time here advice you'd give to your 16-year-old self. So I'm curious what actually you would say to a 16-year-old Rob Riggle.
Wow.
Because you don't have shit at the fan for some time, bro.
I know.
It's coming. It's coming.
I say what we talked about. I think I would say what we've talked about. I would I don't think I could give one piece of advice. I'd have to give a one pager with a bunch of bullet points on it. But I would say don't worry so much. Don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff, right? You've heard
it
that phrase.
It is all small
stuff. So I would say don't let that happen, okay? Relax. Have fun. Chill. Look on the bright side. Get your mindset right. And then I would say when there are problems, they do not get better with time. Deal with them in the moment. Deal with them in the moment. And if it's catastrophic, so be it. Let it be. And then rebuild.
But deal with that.
Deal with it. Don't put your fucking head in the sand.
That's great advice.
Because we all do it.
We all do it.
We all do it. And it's human nature to seek the path of least resistance. That's human nature. But it will back up on you in ways you can't imagine. And it will lead to tremendous pain for everybody involved. So just do the painful quick when it needs to be dealt with. Don't wait. I would pound that into my head. Other than that, I'd say rock on, man.
That's great advice, dude. It's great. That's great. No one's ever come on and said that. Please plug, promote everything one more time.
Yeah, Riggles Picks. You can find it. I think we're going to be on all the socials, you know, Facebook, Twitter, or Twitter X, I guess it's called now.
I still see Twitter.
These kids.
I still call the Chargers San Diego Chargers. I still can't get used to it.
Because I'll never call them LA. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
And you can find me on social, Rob Riggle. The name of the show is Riggles Picks. It's going to be, you know, a lot of fun, just interviews and conversation and it'll be a great way to spend the morning.
Well, thank you, dude. Thank you very much for being here. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.